All right. I was looking, some people's faces are like, what? No special? What? It's like on some days when we don't sing three songs, you know? Man, what's going on here? Turn to the book of Luke in chapter 24. Going to begin reading at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which come to pass here in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since those things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came and said also that they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them that were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told them what things were done in the way, and how they were known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and turned unto them, and said, peace be unto you. Let's stop there, and let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless your word today. Lord, we need the wisdom and the guidance and the revelation that comes from your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this hour. Please be preeminent, Lord. Have your way in the hearts and the minds of those that are here in this room today. Lord, glorify your name, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible has a lot of interesting stories and a lot of irony, and this one, you know, I've always enjoyed for the irony of it. There's these guys walking down the road sad, talking to the living God about their dead Lord. They're complaining about this, about the one that they had followed that had died, and they didn't know what happened to him, and their expectations and all their hopes and dreams seemed to have been shattered, and they were complaining about it to the very Lord who had just risen from the dead. To me, it's an amazing thing. It's a lot of things in this particular story, but I want to approach this story from two different directions, because there's two different things that I want to do. Number one, I want to talk to those who have been actively walking away from the Lord. You know, there's some people that say, you know, I haven't walked away from the Lord. I'm still close to Him and everything, but everything in your life says otherwise. Everything in your life says that the Lord has no hold over you. He has no authority over you, and you're doing what you want to do. I want to talk to you a little bit about what the Lord expects out of you today. And then I also want to talk to those in here that may not even be saved. This may be the first time you've ever even been in church. You know, sometimes we assume, you know, that people know what we're talking about when we talk about the Bible. But I've met a lot of people who think that Jesus, well, not a lot of, actually one person who thinks that Jesus actually split the Red Sea, you know. Jesus didn't split the Red Sea, it was Moses. And Moses wasn't in the lion's den, you know, Daniel was. You see, those of us that are familiar with the Bible, we know these things. We know what personality goes with what story. We know what principles are in here, but there's a lot of people that don't have any idea. And maybe this morning, you don't really have a very clear idea about the Lord, about Jesus Christ, about the Bible, about what it means to you. And I hope to make it a little more clear for you today. You see, verse 13, this story starts out with these two disciples. I don't know if it was Cleopas and a friend of his. I don't know if it was Cleopas and his wife. I'm not sure exactly who the other person was. But the scene is that this is the third day after Jesus Christ had been crucified. Jesus Christ was delivered up unto Pontius Pilate. Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. They put Him in a grave and they buried Him there for 3 days. On the third day, when they went to look for Him, the stone was rolled away. There were two angels inside the tomb that were telling the disciples, look, He's not here. He's risen, just like He said. And if you go back and look, there had been prophecy, Jesus Himself describing what He was going to do. Jesus had to die for the sins of the world. You see, this right here, this is the gospel. The gospel is not that Jesus Christ came to the earth and showed us a better way to live, and now all we have to do is try to follow His example and we'll be Christians. No, our sin was so incredibly heavy that there was no way that we could ever pay for it. Our sin was wicked. Our sin weighed us down. And it took a sacrifice. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, to cleanse us from all sin. We can't cleanse our own sin. We can't save ourselves. We can't do anything. I know sometimes you think, man, you know, you might compare yourself with a neighbor or something and think, well, you know, I'm better than him. I'm not doing so bad. Listen, let me tell you something. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for a soul. You can't possibly ever make it to eternal life and see God in heaven apart from Jesus Christ. And He said it Himself very clearly in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Me. So you must come through Jesus Christ. You see, this event that took place right here, it was the Lamb of God who was finally coming down to die for the sins of the world. That's why John the Baptist identified Him. And he says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. This had just happened. I mean, they knew about it. They had been prepared for it by the Lord. And then it actually took place. And on the third day, they had the prophecies, they had the scriptures, they had everything they needed to be able to believe in this thing. And yet we find two disciples. These were part of the inner crowd. These weren't people that didn't know anything about what was going on. These are guys that were there. They said, hey, one of us went to the sepulcher and looked inside. You know, these are part of the inner circle. And where do we find them? On resurrection day, on the third day when Jesus rose from the dead, we find them walking away from Jerusalem, back home, back to their town. To me? I mean, if you were to describe this to me, where would I want to be? Man, if I heard rumors, you ever hear rumors and then want more information? I mean, they heard rumors. Hey, you know, we went to the grave and his body wasn't there. There were two angels standing there. They said that he wasn't here, that he was risen. We got another guy over here. He said this. And yet they were sad and dejected and walking away. You know, there's a reason why some people never find God. And maybe there are some things in your own actions, in your own attitudes that are keeping you from finding out the true God. The first thing I want to point out about these guys is, I mean, it's obvious now, of course, hindsight's 20/20 when we look at it. They just flat out walked out on God too early. I mean, they went back to Jerusalem, right? They met with the 11. What did we read? As soon as they met up with the 11, Jesus appeared there in the midst of them. Here they are just walking away from Jerusalem, dejected, sad, when they should have just hung in there. You know what I find? I find there's a lot of people that give up on God too quick. I find disciples that are mad at God because he didn't do something fast enough. Hey, remember a story in the New Testament about a personality, about this young man named Lazarus? And he was sick, and he died, and they put him in the grave. And when Jesus finally got there, he said, Lord, if you'd only had been here, our brother hadn't died. They accused him of coming too late. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is never late. Amen. God's timing may not be your timing. I have talked to some people that will not surrender themselves to Jesus Christ because Jesus didn't do something on their terms or on their time. And they decide, hey, man, I'm walking away. I'm out of here. I know something a little bit about this impatience. I'm impatient. I suffered the other day because of my impatience. I was just going to stop by the store and get a little something on the way home. You know how that turns out sometimes. I'm sitting there in Walmart because I thought Walmart would be faster than HEB. I'm sitting there in Walmart. My line are slow. You know, I see one over there. And so I dash over to that line over there. And then the register closes down. And so I back up, almost hit a lady, push my cart over in this one, you know. And then the guy's having an old man is having a hard time counting out his change. And I'm being irritated at this elderly man because he's not counting out his quarters fast enough, you know. No, it's a shame. Thank God he's able to count out his quarters, man. But yeah, we get like that about God, don't we? God, you're just not acting fast enough. You're not doing something. We make deals with God. And God, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do this for you. Listen, his ways aren't your ways. His thoughts aren't your thoughts. His timing is not your timing. And so you need to adjust to his timing. Let me tell you, how many people would have found the Lord if they'd have just hung in there a little while longer? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that you have need of patience. Let me tell you something. Give God a chance. There's some people that say, okay, you know, I talked to him. I said, look, the Bible, it's going to help you out, man. You need to read the Bible. It's going to help you out. It's going to give you some wisdom. So what do? They go over there in the middle of Leviticus and they read three verses and they say, okay, that's it. You know, hey, I read the Bible. It didn't help me out. I talked to a guy one time that honestly, he said, I read the Bible from cover to cover and it didn't help me out. You know, I said to him, I said, you haven't read it enough. If it didn't help you out, there was something wrong. You didn't read it enough. You didn't open up your heart. I don't know what it is that you did. But listen, if you're walking out on God today, if you're on that same road that these two disciples were on, and your path, your life path is directly away from God because he didn't do something for you on your time, I think you ought to stop in your tracks and turn around and go back and give God a chance. A little bit farther in that passage, it says there in verse 21, you see, because These guys, they had a good opinion of Jesus Christ. You can read what they said in verse 19. But in verse 21 it says, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day where these things were done. We had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." Well, they obviously had some different expectations than the Lord had. And basically what they were expecting, and you read about it especially through the Gospel of Matthew, as you read the Gospel of Matthew, you find out that there was the king that came presenting himself to his people as the Messiah. And so what was it that they were expecting? They were expecting a king, you know? They were expecting someone to go and militarily throw off the shackles of Rome and give them their nation back. They were expecting this kingdom to be established on earth right at the time. And when that didn't happen, they were real disappointed. In fact, over there in the book of Acts in chapter 1, the disciples, when he was getting ready to ascend up into heaven, he said, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel?" You see, they had one thought. They wanted him to be king. Jesus Christ had another thought. He wanted to be Savior. You see, they were dejected because he died on the cross, but Jesus came to die on the cross. I wonder today, if maybe some of the problems that you have with God aren't a result of some unreasonable expectations. You're angry at God. You may not admit it in your own heart. You may not, you know, outwardly, publicly say, "I'm mad at God," but in you there is some sort of a resentment because not only because maybe God's timing, there wasn't something that happened as quickly as you happened, but maybe God didn't do for you what you were expecting. And part of that's the fault of preachers. I've heard a lot of preachers give false expectations in their messages about what it's like to turn their hearts over to Jesus Christ. I've heard statements like, you know, "Come to Jesus Christ and he'll solve all your problems." That'd be so cool if that were the case. And if that were the case, there'd be a lot of people coming to God, but under false pretense, that they'd be coming to God for the wrong reasons. They wouldn't be coming to God because they wanted their sins forgiven. Listen, I've heard it preached down at the homeless shelter, you know? Just give your life to God, turn things around, you know, surrender yourself to Christ, and you know, he'll get you back up on your feet, he'll put you back in a house, he'll give you a job. Really? There's a guy sitting there and he smoked crack for the last 15 years. He can't even pronounce his last name and he's going to have his own house and he's going to have his own job. Maybe not. But let me tell you something. Can the gospel help a man like that? If he calls upon God, he's going to have his sins forgiven and he's going to inherit eternal life. And when that body lays in the grave, God's going to transform it and resurrect it and make him a new man. That's the promise of the gospel. Listen, don't come to God because you need money to get your car fixed. How many people have money right now? You could go pay cash and get your car fixed. Some of you might raise and say, "Yeah, I got the money." Others of you, "Nah, man, sorry, man. Ain't got the money for it right now. I'm telling you something. We gotta stop this false expectation of God. You know, God didn't come just to make your life better. There are a lot of Christians that have terrible lives. "Oh man, I wish I'd lived in the days of the apostles." Everybody but John died a violent death. According to Fox's Book of Martyrs, there were apostles that had their brains bashed out with clubs. Some crucified upside down. Others were executed. Really? You want to live in the days of the apostles thinking that's dreamland? Man, let me tell you something. These were the fathers of the faith. These were the foundations of the church. They didn't always have gas for their car. They didn't always have hay for their horses. I don't know. Listen, you bailing out on God because you didn't get your expectations met? You walking away from God because you thought? You're like Naaman there in the Old Testament. You're all mad and bitter and angry. I thought that God... Listen. You need to stop everything that you think that God should do for you. And you should humble yourself and cry out to God and ask Him for forgiveness of your sins. You see, the issue is not whether your life is good or bad. The issue is not whether He's going to fix all your relationship problems, whether He's going to fix your financial problems. Jesus Christ came to die to take care of your sin problem. And your problem is the lust and the anger and the resentment and all of the wicked, wicked sins down there in your heart. Your drunkenness, your wickedness, your selfishness, all those things Jesus Christ came to die for. It says there in verse 21, but we had trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, this is the third day which things were done. And you know, there in verse 19, he says, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. You know, there's something that they were doing, and I guess this is probably subtle, but I want to make a point on it, is they were talking about Jesus like He was the past tense, like He was said and done, like He was gone. Like this was just a story in the past. You know, there's a lot of people that will reject this book right here. You know what they call it? They call it archaic. Old-fashioned. This old book right here, written over 2,000 years ago, doesn't have any relevance for us today. People want something new. They want a new idea. They want something else. But we don't refer to Jesus Christ in the past tense. Because He's right now, here, today. The Scripture said Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those words that He spoke then, they are still important for you today. Oh man, this book was written so long ago, man, how can it possibly, you know, just start reading it and you'll see. I mean, it is incredible how this book here has changed my life. All the new ideas they have about all these new things, man, doesn't hold a candle to the things that God tells me how to live and what to do. You know, it says that, if you back up to verse 15, I want to point out something else that these guys were doing. It says there in verse 14, and they talked together of all these things that had happened. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. You know, they were doing a lot of talking and a lot of reasoning among each other. They were trying to figure out this stuff. They were trying to get a handle on what had happened when Jesus Christ dying and trying to fit it in. But there wasn't any real mention here that they were using the Scriptures to do it. They were just reasoning and talking among themselves. And I got to thinking as looking at this, that this is it might be subtle to you, but it is a big difference. If you try to figure things out without the Word of God, you see, what did Jesus do when He came on the scene? Did He start giving physical proofs and physical manifestations of things? No, right away, He began to open up the Scriptures. He began to deal with them out of the Scriptures. Sometimes we irritate people because we constantly want to go back to the Scriptures. But this is the foundation. Amen. This is the basis. They might call us names and call us narrow-minded, but listen, if this book right here doesn't have anything to say about Jesus Christ, or if this book has something to say about Jesus Christ, I am going to limit myself to this book right here. You trying to find God outside of this book? You trying to find another way to God outside of this Bible right here? You're not going to find Him. How is it that you're going by your feelings or you're going by what somebody else says? Do you know what I would suggest? Man, I would urge you. I would beg you. Man, we got free Bibles here at church. We've got them sitting over there and we'll let you take one home. It's a nice Bible. You can read out of it. And I would go in and read the things that Jesus Christ has said. How many times that Jesus was dealing and He says, have you never read? Wouldn't it have been nice if Jesus Christ would have come and appeared before these two and simply did some sort of an amazing thing? You know, the truth is that if God came down today and did an amazing thing, you wouldn't believe him anyway. A miracle wouldn't convince you. How do I know that? If Jesus Christ were somehow to come and appear before today and do some miracle, do you know where the story would end up? It'd end up on the checkout line at the grocery store, in the National Enquirer, right next to a story about Jimmy Hoffa and Elvis having coffee, still alive, you know, about the predictions of the Mayan calendar for 2012. You know, there's people getting off on that right now. Oh man, birds falling out of the sky, fish washing up out of the ocean. Man, it's coming, 2012, the Mayan calendar. I talked to a guy just the other day. He had just bought a real nice truck, and he is convinced, man, April 29th, man, it is all coming unglued. I did the only thing that a sensible man would say. I say, if it's coming unglued, can I have your truck? He doesn't believe it enough. I found out he is not 100% convinced. He's holding on to his truck. Rats. Yeah, you know what you got to do? You got to find out what God said about himself. Because there's a lot of people telling you all kinds of things about God. You got a lot of information about a lot of different things, but your only solid source of information is in this book right here. When Jesus began dealing with these two, he began dealing with them out of the scriptures. You think Jesus is an afterthought? Man, he started from Moses and the prophets and the psalm, and he expounded unto them all things concerning himself. You go back and look at our archives. I don't remember, maybe 2-3 years ago. We could probably find it for you if you want. Lindell did a series on this very thing right here and went through week after week and showed prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy in the Old Testament concerning Jesus Christ. Do you know this death on the cross was not an afterthought? Do you know it wasn't a slip-up? Do you know it wasn't just something that he had done right at the last minute? It had been planned right from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God gave a prophecy and he said, "Thou shalt bruise his head and he shall bruise thy heel." He was talking about the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. And if you look all the way through the Old Testament as it's progressing, do you know what all those things represent? All the furniture in the tabernacle, all the lambs that were slain on the altar for sin, all the different things, they all pointed to one person, and that was Jesus Christ. They all pointed to him. You see, he didn't give them some sort of a lingo or some sort of modern psychology to lift them up out of their sadness and make them feel better about himself. Man, he said, "Look, you are fools. You're slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You see, these guys didn't have an excuse. They knew what the Word of God said. God calls you to believe this book right here. You say, "Well, if an angel come and talk to me, then I would believe." Well, angels have come and talked to me. In fact, I can show you how to do it. Eat an entire pizza and then go straight to bed. You will have dreams of angels. Believe me. Mess up and take 2 doses of Sudafed when you forgot that you took the first, and then take a Claritin on top of that, and then go to bed. Yeah, you'll see angels. You'll have dreams. You'll see visions. But then, you'll never really know whether that was God. Isn't that something? You go into those churches down in Mexico where they have the idols. One is in San Juan de los Lagos, and they have a little doll there, and that little doll there is reported to have done all kinds of miracles. And you know, they have letters and drawings from people and pictures, you know, thanking this virgin for interceding for him and for helping him and for doing all this. But you know, there's always that doubt. Man, how do you really know that it was that doll that helped you and not something else? The truth is that there is doubt in everything else other than what's in this book right here. Do you know how I know that Jesus Christ came to save me from my sins? Because it's in this book right here. Therefore, somebody could come and tell me that, hey, look, you don't have to go through all that. You don't have to call sin, sin. Inner meditation is where it's at, man. And all you have to do is get in touch with your inner self and meditate and come to a place of peace. Then you'll be at one with the universe. It's not in this book right here. This book doesn't tell me that. This book tells me that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. This book tells me that I've got one shot, and that's to surrender myself to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of my soul. If you look down after Jesus began reasoning with him, it says there in verse 31, actually, back up. It says there in verse 29, they had walked 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Took approximately 2 to 3 hours to walk this route. And he had been talking with them through the scriptures this whole time. Their hearts, they said later, were just burning within them when he dealt with them from the scriptures right there. And then he made as if he were going to just keep on going farther, and they constrained him. And they said, hey, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And then he went in to tarry with them, and they had a little supper together. And you see, that's the thing that I would like to point out to you and talk to you about that I think would be a good thing for you to do. You see, you're at the same point these guys are. Some of you here in this room, your lives, your attitudes, your everything about you, you're walking away from God. You know what I would ask you to do? Do what these guys did. Invite Jesus Christ to tarry. You know, there's a verse in Revelation in chapter 3 and verse 20 where we use it for individuals. It's meant for the church too, but he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Did you know that Jesus Christ is not going to force himself upon you? If you decide today that you're going to walk out, you're going to live your own life, you're going to take your own chances, and you're not going to have anything to do with the, you know, you've got that right. Jesus is not going to force himself upon you. Jesus is not going to make you get saved. He's not going to make you repent of your sins and trust in him. That's your choice. And that's your opportunity. You know, life is real, real uncertain. They say that life is more uncertain now than ever before, but the truth is life has always been uncertain. I just got done reading an article a couple of blocks from my mother's house. One kid, one 22-year-old kid, troubled in his mind with one handgun, ended the life of 6 people and wounded, 15, 16 others, I don't remember exactly what the count was. And somebody was talking to me the other day and they said, you know, because of this, this, and this, I don't think that the end of the world is coming right now. And I had to point out to them, the end of the world for you may be tomorrow. The end of the world for you may be today. You see, here's the thing. If these guys had kept walking and they blocked out Jesus and they decided not to reason with him, they decided not to investigate the scriptures, and they went away and they went back to their city sad and dejected and disappointed because God hadn't done that, do you know what would have happened? Do you think that would have hindered the work of God? No, Jesus Christ would still have appeared to his disciples. He still would have begun to build his church. He still would have transformed the lives of millions. And those two would have been sitting home missing it all. Do you know what you get by walking away from Jesus Christ? You miss the greatest opportunity you've ever had. Oh, if I were you today, I would spend all your waking energy investigating the claims of Christ. If I were you, I wouldn't give sleep to my eyelids until I'd found Jesus Christ. If I was backslidden, walking away from God, and I could give you some advice, and I could put myself in your shoes, I would say, stop right where you are and turn around and go right back to God. I would turn around. I would make a beeline for the Lord as quick as I possibly could. I wouldn't spend another day in rebellion. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him worse than you can possibly imagine. And He came to die on the cross to save you from your sins. Do you know what He's asking for you? He just wants you to repent. He wants you to surrender. Does He want you to figure it all out? No, He's going to take care of all that. He's going to forgive your sins and He's going to save your soul. You will no longer be under the penalty of hell. That's His promise to you. He says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This message today is for those that have never trusted Jesus Christ, to give you an opportunity today to deny whatever it is that's hindering you from coming to God. This is the message for you today to receive Christ and to be saved. If you're walking in a backslidden state, I'm telling you, turn around. Turn around right now and live the rest of your life to the glory of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone in this room that may be in the same position as these two that were walking away and were sad and didn't really understand. Lord, I pray that You would open their eyes like You opened these eyes. I pray, Lord, that You would show them and give them understanding about their own condition before You. I pray that You'd bring upon them the conviction of sin. I pray, Lord, that they would have, Lord, the desire to come to You and to turn towards You. Please, Lord, change the life of someone in this room here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to stand and turn to number 249 in your hymnal. We're going to sing a couple stanzas of this song, and this is your opportunity. This is not for us. This is an opportunity that we give to you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Like I said, we can't force you, we can't make you, but we sure would like to try to persuade you to take Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior today. As we sing number 249, you come. We'll have somebody talk with you with the scriptures. You come and pray. Give your heart to God. He'll hear your prayer if you pray to Him today.